Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Of the Athletic Football Show.
Welcome to the Athletic Football Show. Today is Monday, March 14th. I'm Robert Mays. Joining me today is my good friend Nate Tice. Nate, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. I feel like free agency has been, you know, in the works for a few days now. So I guess we're officially get to talk about it like other teams get to do. So the tampering period is over, is open for teams and it's open for us, I guess, apparently.
What a start. I mean, every year, something on the first day that's just completely crazy.
And
there's so
it.
Many things. And obviously the lead up to this has been wild. The last week has been nuts. The fact that Brady returned last night, that set some things into motion with the Bucks, which we'll get to a little bit later. So we're just going to go through the signings that have happened today, some of the things that have jumped out to us, some of the things that we like, some of the things that we don't like. Not a ton to usually like on the first day of free agency. I was going to put in a section like, what's your favorite signing so far? And I'm sure there's an answer, but all of these, they follow a similar flavor with the that we're used to on the first day of free agency. I guess we'll just
say
that.
What flavor is that?
A lot of overpays, baby. Let's do this.
Very rich. Very rich.
So let's start the only place we can start. I'm a ritualistic person. You know, I look forward to things. There are certain times in the calendar where it's like, I do a certain thing with my fiance. Like, we go to Coachella a lot. Like, so April, like, we're going to go out there. We're going to spend some time in Palm Springs or, you know, in the summer. It's just good to do things with our friends. And those little tent poles on the calendar are fantastic. And it's just nice to know that every March we can rely on the Jags to do this, where they're just going to, I mean, it's just gifts going like this. It's amazing. We can get to whatever one of these you want to start with. I think we start with the Christian Kirk contract because it has definitely been the biggest talking point. The amount of athlete responses to this deal, AJ Brown tweeting out that gif, I think it was T.I. just nodding, Jalen Ramsey making jokes that he's got to become a receiver. That's when you know that things have moved the needle, and this deal absolutely did. I knew that the up to $84 million for the 4 years that Adam Schefter reported was probably doing some heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Even at 4 for $72, it's still a crazy contract.
I bet you, you know, in Arrested Development, when the dad's like, oh, I have the worst effing lawyers. I bet you Mike Williams is saying the same thing about his agent, going like, I should have waited. I should have waited. That's exactly it. Oh my God. I liked Christian Kirk as like a nice, like, side piece for a good team. Like,
but
you know,
that's what this is, though. That's what this is that you have opinions on players and you have, I like this guy as,
yes,
and there's always that caveat, and often in the first day of free agency, in the early part of free agency, that caveat gets lit on fire in about 30 seconds. And that's exactly what happened with Christian Kirk. So if you look at this right now, 4 years for 72, that's the ninth highest AAV among wide receivers. I know Tyreek Hill is going to get a new deal, but the deal he got, the guarantees that he got, it's essentially the contract that Tyreek Hill got a couple years ago.
Oh, my God. A bona fide top four receiver, no matter how you shake it, as opposed to a high-end number three who's really might be a slot-only guy. Oh man, those agents, like, they knew the Jaguars were desperate for receivers, but it's like they still need guys. It's because Kirk is going to be a slot only guy for them. It's just,
it's a huge thing.
It's insane. It's insane
for Cooper to get traded when he did.
Yes,
and for Williams to sign that deal before the market opened. The agents for Kirk, for Allen Robinson, I'm sure for DJ Chark, those guys are just sitting there counting their money.
Oh my god,
it's a huge thing, and that's exactly what happened. For now, I mean, the Amari Cooper trade now looks so much better for the Browns.
It does.
To get him at 20, and not just to get him at 20, there's nothing guaranteed on his deal. They can move on from him after next year. It can be a 1 year, $20 million deal for a fifth round pick, and that seems like a lot when you're just looking at the per year average, but the flexibility of that for only a fifth round pick when Christian Kirk is about to get half of that $72 million guaranteed over the first couple of years, that's a really nice move for the Browns, and you remove all uncertainty by making that move when you did. I don't think they're going to convert any of that base salary. I thought that there was a chance that they might to kind of move some of the guarantees a little bit later, bump up his cap hits in 23 and 24. It doesn't sound like they're going to do that. They're going to keep it as is, but that gives them a lot of flexibility. So that's a huge deal for Christian Kirk. I can understand overpays to surround your young quarterback, right? You have all of this space.
Yep.
And I think that's why you can talk yourself into the Brandon Scherff deal. Do we have numbers on the Brandon Scherff deal yet? Did you see anything specific on that?
See. I had it on my notes. I don't think I did off the top of notes. I just had the years. Good old Control F.
Yeah, I don't think I saw the actual specifics on what the average is for that deal yet. I would have to assume it comes in at the Joe Tooney number or somewhere around there. I mean, Ryan Jensen made $13 million as a center in free agency. I mean, Scherff, obviously, the injury concerns, which we've talked about ad nauseum as how he compares to Tooney at the top of the guard market when you look at last year. But I assume it'll be in the $15 million a year range. I can justify that.
Yeah.
When you think about scarcity, when you think about how high his heights are and what he is when he's healthy, and again, they're building that offensive line in front of a guy that drafted number one overall, I can twist that contract and it, to a certain extent, the Kirk contract. It's like, all right, we need to give our guy weapons. There's scarcity. The Aluakon deal, I can't even start to justify.
No. That one popped my brain even more than the Kirk one. Getting almost 15 a year? It's like the
15 a year.
The fourth most guaranteed for a linebacker ever. He's almost getting CJ Mosley money when he got the banks brought up for him when he signed with the Jets, which was ridiculous. He was a solid player, a goodish solid player on a bad defense. And now it's just like you're paying for the stats where he had 90 assisted tackles. I don't know. That one's ridiculous to me. Scherff one, I'm fine with. They need leadership. They need toughness. Cool with this. You're building
that thing up. You franchise Cam Robinson. You want to spend that money on the offensive line.
Makes sense.
You have a surplus. I can understand that. And even the Kirk thing, again, it's a huge overpay. But it's like, all right, I can see how you twist the logic to your ends here.
Yeah.
Paying $15 million for an off-ball linebacker, they already have Miles Jack.
I know.
So now they're paying almost $30 million combined to two linebackers.
I was looking at the list and I saw Miles Jack is right in slot, like right where they're. And I was like, oh my God, that's right. They gave him a big deal too. Just for off-ball guys. And they need so much help everywhere. That's what I thought they would be shopping that upper middle class bin. Just a whole bunch of dudes. Just patch some guys together. Not go for splashes like this.
I can totally understand. I'm sure that a response to this from people is going to be, well, they have all the money. They need to spend the money anyway. This just doesn't work. It just never works.
Nope.
You can look back on it. It's the Arrested Development thing. It's like, well, you know, it's never worked for anybody else, but maybe this time it'll work for us. Barnwell and I, when we were going through our lessons the other day, outside of the top of the market concerns that you'd always have to have, linebacker is one of those positions. I mean, the history of overspending on free agent linebackers is just riddled. It's a graveyard.
Yep.
Nothing good comes there. Nothing good is waiting for you down that road.
Nope.
And they just did it you don't need to do that. Nope. You can split that in half and go sign a corner and another receiver if you want to. It just
another middle tier lineman. Like
it's not necessary.
Nope.
And if you look at this, it's like, well, they're a rebuilding team. You know, they need players. Go back to what the Bills did when they were rebuilding. They never did this.
Nope.
They never shopped middle class dudes like this. It's not necessary. You don't need to spend like this. How you justify it, I just don't know. I just don't know how you can look at those numbers and be like, yeah, this is exactly how we want to build this team at this stage. Yep. Even if you're even if you have talent deficiencies, even if you have a ton of money just pouring out everywhere, I still just don't understand using it this way.
just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It felt like somebody got the $100 gift card to Best Buy or something. It's like, oh, I'm going to buy all this stuff. And it's like, you know, no, you don't need to. Like, you save, you know, a couple movies are coming out next year.
They got the $100 gift card and then they spent like $10,000.
Yeah. Like, they spent $900 out of pocket. Money.
Yeah, it's like every single place, it's like, oh, we'll give you a free whatever if you come in and spend this much. That's kind of what it feels like.
Oh my God.
They got a coupon, so they went nuts.
Amazon got me yesterday with it. $35, you get same day shipping. I spent $33. And I was like, well, looks like I'm buying a new mouthwash, new special mouthwash or something. I did like, I'm not going to lie, I did like the Fattikassi signing. Mm-hmm. They overpaid for that. But that one makes more sense to me than signing an off-ball linebacker, because at least he's going to play the snaps. He's going to help out your other guys. It's more of a, it's a double. It's not a sexy signing, but it's a double. That one I understood, the overpay. Off-ball linebacker was the one that I was just like, are you guys kidding me? Just draft one in the middle round, and it's so much cheaper. Find a stopgap. You're not, they're not a step away. They're three steps away from contending. That's, it just, any way you shake it just didn't make sense to me.
The Kirk deal was wild. If you're
I keep looking at the number.
I mean, if you're AJ Brown or any of these guys that are going to be hitting the market soon, I mean, you've heard Devontae Adams right now, and you're sitting there on a franchise tag that's paying you $20 million a year right now. It's definitely the most shocking moment of the day.
Because what?
I don't think we should be shocked at this point.
5 mils a tier jump. So now imagine 2-3 tier jumps. I mean, if that's like the market value, if we're going like tit for tat, that's like $30 million Devontae Adams should be asking. He's getting 18. I should be getting this.
I mean, when those markets start to dry up, that's what ends up happening. So Brandon Scherff goes to the Jags. That opens up the path for Laken Tomlinson to go to the Jets. They were in the guard market. They spent 3 years, $40 million, $27 million guaranteed. It's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. There weren't that many high-end guards on the market. If you look at after Scherff, who was going to go? Laken Tomlinson was right in that range. We'll talk about the Alex Kappa deal in a little bit. So if you look at 3 years, $40 million, $27 million guaranteed, that's just under the Wyatt Teller deal in both average annual value and guarantees. I mean, that's right behind the big, big deals, the Cheney deal, the Petonio deal. That's one notch down for a guy who's been good, been very solid for the Niners, but 30 years old, and you're not getting an elite player. I mean, this is free agency at its core, are signings like this. I think it makes sense where they are. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that you have his position coach with the Niners, John Benton is the offensive line coach and run game coordinator for the Jets. You know the system. So I understand it. The only thing, and I'm curious what you think about this, swapping from left guard to right guard. He's played some right guard in the past. He did in college and early in his career. What do you think about that? Do you think it's enough of a transition and enough of a jump to be concerning when you spend this much money on a guy? Do you think it is going to be seamless enough where it's worth it?
It's not ideal, but I think it'll be seamless. I think the fact that he has history at it, if it were one of those, and this might just be one where I have no vision, but one of those where it's like, I've seen him do it before at Duke. I know he did it at Duke, and I think he had some spot starts, I think, with Detroit at right guard. But that's the thing is that I don't think guards, I've never played the position. I don't know. This is just my experience around the guys. Guard is a little easier, not easy, but a little easier than switching left tackle, right tackle. That's freaking hard. But switching guard spots, I think it's just, it's a little bit of a jump in difficulty, but he has experience doing it. He actually was better at right guard, I thought, coming out of Duke, the whole swap thing, maybe going back to the right side will kind of clean it up. I think it's fine. He'll get used to it. It's not ideal. You want him to stay in the same spots. When we signed, we being the Raiders, signed Kelechi Osemele to play left guard, bumped Gabe Jackson from left guard to right guard. And he really worked at it, but he got there. I think the better, the more talented guys, it's an easier transition, just like anything. They end up becoming more scheme proof. I think he's athletic enough to handle it, and he has experience doing it. Not ideal, but you're fine with it.
So now you look at it. They have Fant. They have Becton to figure out the tackles. I think a tackle might be in play for them in the top five. They now have Vera Tucker and Tomlinson at guard. Mm-hmm. So maybe McGovern at center. They're starting to really build that thing. I mean, they have these excess resources because they have a quarterback on a rookie contract and not many players. And they're using those excess resources to build up their offensive line, which I think makes perfect sense.
There's a tweet, and I might be just, this might have been one of those fake tweets that I got to like, so that's why I shouldn't maybe bring this up, but they maybe offered Zach Wilson for Deshaun.
So Connor Hughes from The Athletic said that was not true. So
okay, good.
I mean, you got to be head on a swivel this time of
year. Oh my God. That's why I didn't want to talk about it, but I was like, okay, is that true?
So I saw a fake, I got duped by a fake tweet and I texted a coach about it and I was like, oh shit. So it was fine. He thought it was funny, but I didn't tweet about it. But you got to keep your head on a swivel days. I mean, all this stuff is flying, you never know how many fake Schefters or fake rap sheets are out there.
Yeah.
So got to be aware in moments like this. All right. So the Bengals also were expected to be in the guard market, and they wasted no time. Right. They go get Alex Kappa, 4 years, $40 million. I think that this position, we talk about this all the time, and they also went to get Ted Karras, 3 years, 18. Alex Kappa slots in at right guard. Ted Karras slots in at left guard. This is all about going from bottom of the barrel to can you play? That's it. That's it. And that is the premium that they paid. But let's say, for argument's sake, let's say Scherf is at the Tooney number, right? 16 a year. They just got Kappa and Karras at that number. And I think that's a lesson they have learned over the last couple of years. They looked at the Trey Waynes contract, and then they saw that they got two corners or two DBs for that price a year later. And I feel like that's where they want to be shopping. So the Bengals now, unspectacular. I think Kappa's a better player than Ted Karras is, and I think that's why it's $10 million compared to six. Unspectacular, but solid options at guard, and that's exactly what they needed. That's what this offense needs to continue functioning the way it wants to.
Just get to average, like you said.
That's all you need.
Karras is average, and I would say Kappa's about above average. He's solid. But wouldn't you rather have Kappa and Karras than Tomlinson, just the one guy? You know, like that, as far as kind of money, like that's about ish, same-ish, but that's the thing. Now they got two average or better starters as opposed to just one with that money. So it's a little
and
smart
plenty
spending
to play around with. There's still a ton of money to play around with. Exactly. Just because it's burning a hole in your pocket doesn't mean you need to throw it around with reckless abandon. It's not necessary.
Right.
So now can you go build some depth on the defensive line? They go re-sign B.J. Hill. 3 years, $30 million. That's a lot of money for B.J. Hill.
I thought he was getting eight a year. I thought he was getting max.
I mean, think about it. They got him in the Billy Price trade, a guy that they didn't even want anymore. A team that desperately needed offensive line help on the interior trades an interior offensive lineman for this guy, and a year later is worth 3 years, $30 million.
Yeah, he was one of my under the radar guys. I thought $7 million a year. I think in my notes I wrote 3 years, $21-22 million, somewhere around that. So this is a little juicier than I would have given up. But he is a good solid player. But that is why they're shopping in this kind of upper middle class bin as opposed to splashing for a Scherf or even a Tomlinson. So it makes sense because now they can spray it other places. He's a useful player. He really is. They still need help on the interior D line though.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously Larry Ogunjobi signs with the Bears. We'll talk about that in a second. So you look at $10 million a year for interior defensive linemen. I mean, that's right in that range, right above what Shelby Harris signed for a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. It's right in line with the Dalvin Tomlinson contract that he got. Michael Pierce and Dalvin Tomlinson, both from the Vikings, and the Grover Stewart deal that he got from Indy. So it's right in that range, and good for B.J. Hill. Again, somebody that was traded in a kind of a throw-in deal last week, or last year. I mean, definitely interesting there. So, okay, the one other thing I wanted to mention in regard to the Bengals, I think the Bengals and the Jets were both in the mix for Ryan Jensen.
Okay.
Obviously, the Bucs re-sign him.
Yeah.
3 years, $39 million, $23 million guaranteed. That beats Lindsley's deal from last year. Makes total sense, right? They're right around 30. It's your turn to be the next guy. Yep. So, I mean, Ragnow's younger. He set the market during the season this year. Makes total sense.
Yeah, that was a projection bet. Like,
totally. Hey, yep, These guys are 30. I think it makes total sense here. It seemed like the Bucks' interest ramped up after it was clear that Brady was going to be back. And that's how this works, right? One domino falls, and then the rest of them fall.
This is the real last dance. Not Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. It's Jensen and Tom Brady. This is the real last dance.
So, I mean, I think obviously that makes total sense, and we'll see what they end up doing, who they can bring back, what sort of accounting tricks will be necessary there.
Yeah.
I think we're going to mention that for a few different teams.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
So just one quick note, Ted Karras has played a lot of center in the past, and he may be the starting center for the Bengals. They can move on from Trey Hopkins and save some money. So that makes a lot of sense. They drafted Jackson Carmen in the second round last year. Whatever it is, bodies on the interior of the offensive line, how the shuffle works out, we will eventually see.
I was just interested because I was like, Hopkins is the one guy that's solid for them. It was like, okay, let's get another center in there. So I'm curious if they bump him to guard or what they do.
I mean, it's all about, can you save money, right? I mean, if he's going to be at $6 million a year, I think there's only guarantees in the first year because that's mostly what the Bengals do. So if they can sign him at a lower price and free up a little bit of money, I do think that makes sense. But again, just bodies on the interior for the Bengals. All right. So B.J. Hill stays in Cincinnati. His partner in crime in the interior of the defensive line for the Bengals goes to Chicago for $13 million a year. Oof. 3 years, $40 million for Larry Ogunjobi. So initially, the signing came through, and it was Larry Ogunjobi signs with the Bears. So I was like, okay, I can understand that. Hicks is gone. You release Goldman. Mm-hmm. You need a three technique in that defense. We'll see what the number is. That's a big number.
Big number.
That is a big number. I mean, you can, a lot of different considerations here, okay? 11th in average annual value for defensive tackles. And then you look at the comparisons, it's the Javon Hargrave deal.
Interesting.
Almost the exact same contract, same percentage of the cap where based on where the cap is this year. And he does not have the juice that Javon Hargrave does.
No, he does not.
Even if you're looking at it and you say, okay, we need this position in this defense. You know, think about the history of this defense. Matt Eberflus needs his three technique. That's a lot to pay to solidify that spot, especially when you have holes elsewhere. So we'll see. You know, maybe it works out. He's a good player, but that's a premium for him at this stage of free agency.
It's almost like when you're watching that Bengals film for free agency, why don't you just look at the other guy, B.J. Hill, and go, what's his market? Like, you know, you're getting really a comparable player. That, like, they aren't not the exact one-for-one, but that's 10 million. We just said B.J. Hill got overpaid a little bit, but that's still, what, 10 million less than Ogunjobi total? Yeah, so I understood the move, but like you said, it was like, that's a big, big number to be giving him, especially when you don't have that real, real bona fides that maybe Hargrave did this past year, especially.
Well, Hargrave, it was such a strange situation, right?
Such a contract year.
Well, it was also what he did in Pittsburgh. He was just asked to do a very different thing. It was a different style of defense. The role he played was very different. And there was a projection there, but he's so explosive and he can just be so dominant. And Ogunjobi, even in his best, just doesn't have that. It's a lot to pay just to say, okay, we've solidified that spot in our defense, especially where they are in how they're trying to build this thing or how I feel they should build this thing.
Yeah.
So it was a little surprising to me. I mean, we'll see how it works out, but it was a little surprising to me. All right. This is why it's fun to do these live and why it's fun to do these as everything is rolling in. Ian Rappaport saying that the Chargers are expected to sign JC Jackson to a big money deal. Obviously, we can't react to the details here. Have not come down yet. Thought this was a possibility.
Yeah.
As soon as we were talking about JC Jackson on our defense show, I think the last thing I said was I would pay attention to the Chargers because they still have a decent amount of money to throw around, and they were intent on rebuilding their cornerback room after last year, and they went to get the best one on the market.
Yep. It was him or Carlton Davis. It felt almost like a lock that they would get one of them. Like, you know, they're just one of those guys just felt like it was happening there as far as need, as far as price point, as far as how they're going to use them. I think it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense to me because now you're not, of course, you're not getting to the Ramsey level, but you're hopefully in there. I think how they built their defense is now we don't have to worry about that side. And we can shift the bodies to the other side. If you're playing like a trips team, you have a guy that could take care of the X and it helps everybody else out on your whole entire defense. So I get it.
When you think about the way that Jalen Ramsey was used when Brandon Staley was there, they would, like you said, even if it was zone coverage, they would lock him on the backside and he would play man. We know that J.C. Jackson's best trait is as a man coverage corner. Yep. I think you keep that in mind. I also think this is a lever to play more man coverage.
Yep.
If you think about how the rest of the league is adopting, it's exactly right. It's exactly right. Think about Fangio last year. right? So if you look at what the Broncos did with all those corners, they stocked up the corners, right? Mm-hmm. Bryce Callahan was back, draft Stan in the first round. You have Ronald Darby. You go get Kyle Fuller, who didn't have a good year, but a lot of corners.
Yeah,
they played as much man coverage as almost any other team in the league last season, and you don't typically ascribe that to a Fangio defense, but I think you have to know, all right, where are we going? Like, what is next? Kent just said 5 years, $82 million for J.C. Jackson with $40 million guaranteed. That seems okay to me.
That's actually well less than I thought he was going to get. I mean, that's a ton of money, don't get me wrong, but man, I thought he was going to get 18, 20 a year. So what, doing the math in my head, yeah.
Huh? What is that a year? This is really good live radio. 16,
I know, 16, 32, 64.
82 divided by 5 is 16. That's pretty good.
16.
I mean, right? I 16.4. And then that's, again, 2 years of that guaranteed, 2.5 years of that guaranteed. I think totally reasonable.
Yeah.
And exactly what – it's, again, it's an element of their defense that I think they need. So that
rookie
makes total
contract
sense
quarterback. It helps.
Why not? Let's go. Let's go.
He's already MVP level. Like, we already know. It's not a question mark about him. So
he is a top five quarterback and making $7 million a year. This is when you do this.
Yes.
It 2 years from now. So let's say it's the first 2 years are guaranteed and then
the cap's going up.
The guarantees in the third year. Okay.
The cap's going up.
You have Herbert cheap this year, $7 million next year, fifth year option after that. Then the deal gets bigger. The guaranteed money for J.C. Jackson, by the time you have to pay Justin Herbert, no longer matters. It's over. So this 2.5 years, this 3 years, this is when you got to push the chips in with that guy, and that's exactly what they're doing. So I'm totally fine with this.
Totally fine. Makes total sense. Need everything fit. I love it. It gives him another star quality defender on that side of the ball, which is awesome. Now you're building. Now you have a great DB core. I love both of their safeties, Adderley and, of course, Derwin James. They need linebackers, and we know they need interior defensive linemen. Guess what? You can find those guys in the draft.
Absolutely, like, you can. And you can find them cheap. If you want to pay one or two more and you want to give them $6 million a year, $8 million a year, totally doable. And they can still afford to do that with some of the other moves that they can make. So this one seemed like it might be coming down the pipe, and here we are.
Makes sense.
So I was going to transition from Larry Ogunjobi to this. Keep with the Chicago flavor here a little bit. Mitchell Trubisky, baby.
Right?
Okay. All right. It is 5 p.m. Eastern. I have not seen terms on the deal. Why do you think that is?
I don't. Is it because it's just a scary amount of money?
I think somebody doesn't want it out there.
Is it like way too much for a 2-year deal?
I'm curious to see when those numbers come, whether it's like midnight tonight, we find out how much Trubisky's getting a year.
Well, Teddy just signed with the Dolphins, so I'm sure they're waiting for them to drop that number before they drop their number.
On its face, it is funny. Okay? It is funny. I totally understand it. When you're thinking about the alternatives, let's say, for argument's sake, it's $15 million for essentially 1 year. Let's say that's what it is. Last year, the going rate for stopgap starting quarterbacks in their mid-30s, Ryan Tannehill, Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, $10 million, $10, $11 million.
Yep.
You get a guy with theoretically some upside in Trubisky for $15 million, and you don't have to give up an asset to get him. This doesn't preclude you from drafting a quarterback in the first round if you want to. You can bring that guy along at whatever pace you want to. I understand it's not a super attractive outcome if you're a Steelers fan, but I completely understand how you land on this timeline if you're Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Would you rather do this or trade a second-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo?
I'd much rather do this. I keep those picks too, especially how the Steelers are built. I how you just laid it out, it's exactly it. Now they have paths. Now if they do really like a guy in the draft, now it's like, oh, okay, maybe in a first round or the second round, but now you're not needing it. Now you're not going like, oh, we have to draft a quarterback in the first round or we're dead, or in the second round. And there's not really, I think a lot of these guys are going to get pushed up into middle and first. So they're not going to probably have him in the second round, some guy that they can maybe build around. So I think it makes total sense what they are. I'm still convinced that Matt Canada, his 1 year at Pitt as offensive coordinator, saw Mitch Trubisky throw for 5 touchdowns against him when he was at North Carolina. I was like, I'm going to get that guy and coach him one day. I'm convinced that's also what happened too.
By the way, I love the Mitchell Trubisky-Matt Canada marriage. It's going to be weird as hell. It is going to be so weird. He's going to be on the move. There's going to be so many moving parts. Yep. Because even if they tried to put Roethlisberger in the Matt Canada box last year, it is always going to be, to a certain extent, the Ben Roethlisberger offense. That's, yep. When you filter it through him, that's what it was going to look like. Now, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Like, all bets are off. I do think, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, the reports that the Giants were also interested in Trubisky, and Dable had all year, every day, to watch him, would be slightly encouraging. I don't have the highest of hopes for what he can end up being, but I think as a one-year stopgap option, as you're trying to figure out what this is and you consider the alternatives, this is not the worst outcome for the Steelers.
And he can, what do we say sometimes? At least Trubisky can run around a little bit.
Yes.
So even if it's not perfect, he can once in a while get hot and create some plays for you. It's like, it's fine. It's totally fine. Like, I for the Steelers situation, it makes a ton of sense. You could do so much worse, but it's also very damning of this upcoming quarterback class about what all these teams are doing with the quarterback position as opposed to.
But let's say they do like Malik Willis. Let's say, for argument's sake, they do like Malik Willis, and he is available when they pick. Like, maybe he won't be, but let's say he is. You can. There's no rush. Nah. You can bring him along as slowly as you want to. You take a swing and then you see how it goes. Or maybe you don't do that. I just think this, again, I think you're right.
Gives them pads.
Yes. It doesn't back them into a corner. I totally understand how you get here. All right. Let's stay in Pennsylvania. Hassan Reddick goes to the Eagles. 3 years, $45 million, $30 million guaranteed at signing. It's a lot of money. But if you look at the edge rusher of a certain age and profile that was available, there weren't any. Yeah. Ogba goes back to the Dolphins on essentially this deal. Mm-hmm. Harold Landry stays with the Titans. Mm-hmm. The only real kind of poppy edge rushers were 30 years old or more. They're your Von Millers, your Chandler Joneses. I mean, that market dried up in a hurry, and he fits what they want to do. He can play that Sam for them where he's a linebacker on base downs, and then he's in a pass rushing role. Like, it's... I think it makes a lot of sense. And for what they like and what they typically chase, this was not surprising to see.
Yeah. In NBA terms, they always say, like, oh, that matches the timeline. But it's like that this guy makes sense. He's 27, I believe. He's only missed one game in his career, I believe. Like, so, okay. So you're getting
real production the last 2 years, too. Oh, as he transitioned into a new role, real production.
And two different teams, two different types of schemes, two different types of situations.
It's a great point.
And he produced in both. So that's like, okay, he can come to us. At least we have a baseline with him. They just don't, you know, his weakness is he's not big. And so you need other size. But guess what? He produces, he gets pressures, and he gets sacks. It's okay. And that's fine. He actually, when I saw in the notes, you're like, oh, favorite signing. This was probably overall one of my favorite signings of the day. Like, it made sense as far as price point and everything. I'm not too disappointed in this one, especially what else was out there. I mean, even I love Ogba. He's 2 years older. I mean, it's, you know, that matters.
I also think his sack production is a little bit more fool's gold than what Reddick has done over the last couple
of
years.
He's more of a super glue guy than a bona fide pass rusher, if that makes sense.
I mean, you look at the numbers, okay? Bud Dupree got 16 and a half last year. Za'Darius Smith got 16 and a half. You know, Leonard Floyd got 16 on his extension. Trey Hendrickson got 15. I think it makes sense.
It does.
When you consider what guys have gotten recently.
The Hendrickson deal, that makes a lot of sense.
I don't think it's that crazy. I really don't.
I liked it. Yeah, I really did. It made sense. Yeah, that's the only way I can put it. And he's going back home. He's a Temple guy. So added bonus. That's worth $1 million right there.
All right. Chase Edmonds to the Dolphins. Okay. You liked Chase Edmonds. When we were talking about running backs, he was the one guy that you said, you know, I'd take a dice roll on Chase Edmonds. I think that makes sense. And I don't hate this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of money for a running back. Okay. Yep. It's a lot of money for a running back. Any free agent deal is going to look like a lot of money for a running back. I'm pretty sure this makes him like the 11th highest paid running back in the league.
It's like him and Nyheim Hines.
When you consider where the Dolphins are and how much cap space they had, this is for the most part, it's a 1 year, $6 million contract that they can get out of after this year if they want to. It is better for the Dolphins by far than the deal the Raiders gave Kenyon Drake last year to be their number two running back. Yep. If you're going to spend on a free agent running back, I think this is a totally acceptable way to do it. And Mike McDaniel got to look at him twice a year. Tons of film. I'm sure he's very familiar with him. And they needed a running back. It just, at this stage, everything else and the scheme change and what he can do for you in the passing game, it's a lot to spend on any running back. But I think in this particular situation, it's justifiable.
Yep, it is. $6 million is always going to be hard with a running back, but that's like I think exactly how you put it. They can get out of it as if it's great, they can get it for 2 years. But you know, it's like they can get out of it just after this year. They need running backs. Like they have nobody. So you get this guy, you draft a bigger body in the third or fourth round. There's going to be a ton of running backs this year in the third and fourth round. Perfect. Now you got your pair and you're good. Because Edmonds is kind of capped out about 12 touches a game because of size, but he's useful. He's got juice, so he can create some plays for you, get some passing game stuff. So he's not just a big bruiser. You're like, oh man, we got to block it up for him. He can create some stuff for you. You know, so you just get another bigger back that can kind of be an innings eater for you. And I think that's a nice pairing. It made sense to me.
Yeah, I think it's totally fine. And again, this is all about opportunity cost.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? If you pay this guy, what is it going to preclude you from doing?
Yeah.
The Dolphins had oodles of cap space in 2021. You giving Chase Edmonds $6 million in 2021 probably isn't going to prevent you from doing anything.
Nothing.
And next offseason, you get to choose whether you want to recommit to that $6 million.
Yep.
If you, by the way, looking at running back contracts,
it's insane, isn't it?
The Austin Eckler contract rules. I mean, was a very shrewd move from the Chargers to get him in that $6 million range, which is, again, what Nyheim Hines is making. Yep. It's what Chase Edmonds is making. It's a pretty good-looking deal for the Chargers this point.
I actually was a little surprised when I looked at the list, and I was like, oh, that's a good deal right there. Like, my second-team All-Pro pick, Austin Eckler, right there.
All right, Cedric Wilson. 3 years, $22.8 million to go to Miami to join Chase Edmonds. $12.75 million guaranteed was the report. Totally fine. I think this is the range I would hunt in.
Yeah.
You know, would you rather give Cedric Wilson 3 years and $22 million with $12.5 million guaranteed, or Christian Kirk 4 years and $72 million with half of that guaranteed?
That's exactly it. Cedric Wilson. He's a number three. That's what it is. That's what you're getting out of him. He's a number three producing type of guy. Matches skill set. But yes, absolutely. I'd much rather do Wilson on a cheaper deal than Kirk on his bonafide deal, apparently.
So, I mean, even with Ogba contract. So let's just look at it all kind of as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. So you have Wilson, you have Edmonds, you have Ogba. All three of those deals make sense. Yeah. I don't think there are huge overpays. I can understand how you arrive at each of those points if you're Miami in this moment.
Yep. It's lower, upper class. I think that's the best way to put it. They got nice houses. They paid market price and they're like, okay, but they didn't go overboard for a name. I think that's more. They're just getting tangible starters for what they need. They need a lot of help. They do. They really do, especially on offense.
Yeah. I mean, they signed Cedric Wilson and Chase Edmonds for 6 + 7 = 13. So $5 million less than the Jaguars are going to pay Christian Kirk every single year. I think that's how you have to think about this stuff.
You do.
All right. So speaking of Cardinals running backs, James Conner back in Arizona, 3 years, $21 million, $16 million over the first 2 years. It's very similar to the Melvin Gordon deal. When you look at the same types of guarantees, if it's the Gordon deal was 1 year, or excuse me, this one's 1 year longer. It's the 10th highest AAV among running backs. Here are the guys making more than James Conner at running back this year. CMC, Zeke, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones, Saquon Barkley.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot. And unlike the Edmonds deal, this is a 2 year thing. I mean, they're locked in essentially to 2 years of this with $16 million guaranteed over the first 2 years, or the $16 million paid out over the first 2 years. Zach Ertz also getting an extension from the Cardinals. That's 10th in AAV at his position. They're just running it back.
Like, yeah.
So both of those guys, right? They get Connor for nothing last offseason.
Yep.
For nothing. And now he's a $7 million a year running back. They trade Zach Ertz in what amounted to essentially like a salary dump for Philadelphia. And now he's the 10th highest paid tight end again. And it's like, those guys were fine.
Yep.
But I mean, to pay a premium now to commit yourself to whatever your offense looked like last year when, I don't know, were we that excited about what their offense looked like by the end of last year?
No.
This isn't Miami giving Chase Edmonds $6 million with how many resources they have, where they're at, is different to me than Arizona at this stage giving James Conner $7 million over the first 2 years. It's just different.
They're building a sweet fantasy team. That's what it seems like, though. But I mean, wouldn't you rather, okay, let one of these guys walk. Just pick one, Ertz or Connor. And that's, you put it post. They're both fine players. Don't get me wrong. But wouldn't you just rather let one of those guys walk and use that money to get a guard? Use that money to get something on defense, a mid-level corner, something on your defensive front that's more tangible than a star player. I don't know. It's just their team building that just doesn't make sense. It just seems like they go for names, and some it works in some regards, but others you can see why they fall apart as the season goes along, because they don't have depth, because they pay for guys like this.
I just don't understand what the process is.
They got that extension. They don't care.
Explain to me the plan. Explain to me why this is the way that we should be building this thing. It's just confusing. I really don't understand it.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
All right. We're going to start talking about some re-signings. And just before we were doing that, news comes down. Carlton Davis back with the Bucks. 3 years, $45 million. I am so in on the irresponsible financial decisions that the Buccaneers are about to make. They need a mob accountant. I mean, this is going to be incredible what they're going to have to do to their books. Why not? Like, let's see if you can do it. Just whatever. You burn it down 2 years from now. Yeah. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do. I mean, they're just re-signing everybody. And obviously some concessions, right? Stinney for Alex Kappa. You're going to have to make some shortcuts here.
Yeah.
But they're going for it, and I respect it. I mean, that's a decent number for Carlton Davis. We both really liked him. Thought he would have fit with a lot of teams. So good for the Bucks. Good for him.
The fact he got 15 and J.C. Jackson got 16 a year, give or take, like that's way less than I thought those guys were going to get. I mean, way less being a couple mil, but still, it's a couple mil. Yeah, I think the Bucks were like, hey, we really like this window we got. Let's keep it that way. Might as well. Brady, let's run it back. Let's get another year. It's the last dance for them. Makes total sense. And even little things like going for a corner, a premium position, and Cap is a fine player, but over a guard. A guy that you can probably find more of a middle tier guy than the guy at corner right there. So makes a ton of sense.
I wasn't sure what they were going to look like, even if Brady was back. I mean, this was back in December, when you're projecting what the 2022 Bucks would look like if Brady had returned. Were they going to be able to afford Ryan Jensen and Chris Godwin and Carlton Davis? The answer so far is yes. They have not said goodbye to any of Ali Marpet retires, obviously, but they haven't had to lose anyone financially that was up near the top of their priority list. I mean, they are bringing back most of the band here as they try to make one more push for this thing.
Yep. And why not? I mean, the window's open. Why as well? You're not in the AFC. So that window's open.
Another guy that we were really intrigued by that was hitting the market was Quandre Diggs, who signs for 3 years, $40 million to return to the Seahawks. I mean, you look at it, I think the deal makes total sense when you consider the market. So it's about this exact same cap percentage that John Johnson got from the Browns last year, an average of about 6% of the cap. So a little bit of an increase per year. But when you consider where the cap is going, where it was last offseason, I think it's in line with the market. He's a really good player. Yep. I didn't know what speaks to what the Seahawks are thinking here. They re-sign him. They will re-sign Will Disley. You know, I thought that they were going to potentially blow this thing up and really start over. It doesn't seem like they're trending that direction. So maybe gives you a window into what their thinking is with Deshaun Watson or what their quarterback situation is going to look like. So just thinking an interesting set of moves from Seattle here.
Yeah, this seemed more like a reload than a like, hey, we're moving on to the next step. Which is interesting. We for the last year or so, we've been talking about how much safeties matter more in the NFL. And the Seahawks are taking that to the extreme with how much they're paying their guys. But I think Quadri Diggs is a hell of a player. Really, I think he is the top safety for them. Like, I think he's their top DB. Adams is fine, is limited in some ways, but good in other ways. But I think Diggs is the actual star. So this makes sense. I think he's a hell of a player. So I think this is right in line what he should have gotten.
So as we continue to dig into irresponsible accounting here, the Packers, 5 years, $50 million for Devondre Campbell. They also brought back Preston Smith on an extension today. They cut Za'Darius Smith. They cut Billy Turner. There's going to have to be some crazy stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Void years and everything else. I mean, what they're going to have to do to make sure all of this stuff works is stuff that they don't typically do. But they're in a unique position. Mm-hmm. It's not dissimilar to what the Bucs are having to do with Brady. You only have a couple more years with the quarterback, and is it going to be messy 3 years from now? Sure, it's going to be messy 3 years from now. But I understand the thought process. I understand what you're trying to do. Good for Devondre Campbell, by the way. Again, somebody that comes in on a bargain basement deal, trying to rebuild his value, and does it in a big way for the Packers.
Like you said, it could get messy, but guess what? You win one Super Bowl ring, and it's worth that mess. Like that shiny piece on your finger cleans everything else up. I'd much rather have this deal than the Foy deal. You know,
100%.
Much rather at 10 mil a year, give or take, it's really going to be like a 2 year deal when it's all said and done. Like most of these are, he's getting less.
By the way,
he's getting less.
What do you
Blake
think
Martinez.
That number, what do you think that cap hit number is in year five?
Oh, I know.
It's like $25 million.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I'm curious to see what it's going to end up
kick
looking
that can.
Like. But
kick that can. Yeah, I know. But he's getting less than Blake Martinez is. So to put it in perspective, as far as years or
that 5 years year. I mean, you can spread out some signing bonus stuff. You got a lot of things that you can use that for.
Yep,
and I assume that they will. We'll see what happens with Devontae Adams. And there were reports today that he is not going to play on the franchise tag after the Christian Kirk deal, even before the Christian Kirk deal. I don't blame him for not wanting to play on the franchise tag.
30 mil. That's what he's going for. I'm sure he's going to get it.
So let's fascinating little set of dominoes here in the AFC as we look at offensive linemen. Okay. The Titans cut Roger Saffold. Roger Saffold now signs a 1 year deal with the Bills.
Which I
haven't
really
seen a number on that yet. I assume it's less than he was making, obviously.
Yeah.
The Bills release Darrell Williams, who had bumped down to guard after Spencer Brown stepped in at right tackle. He was at $9 million after an extension. They save about $6 million. I assume Saffold is less than that $6 million. So they get a guard for less than they save for Darrell Williams. And they get a guard who has his warts at this stage of his career, but brings a physicality in the run game that other guys do not.
Matches the Bills' mindset as a team, like completely.
Yes.
So it totally makes sense.
Mitch Morse signs a 3-year, $28 million deal. His cap hit goes down to 8-ish million this year. So you see how all of these things start to pile up, right?
Yeah.
And then go back to Tennessee, Ben Jones back on a 2-year, $14 million contract. I would have loved that if you were another team.
I thought the Bears were going to go after him.
And it sounds like the Bears were looking into Brian Allen, who goes back to the Rams. On a 3-year, $24 million deal. That range there, $7 million for Ben Jones, $8 million for Brian Allen, I think you would give that to a center in free agency and never think twice about it.
Yep.
And I think that those teams that had those guys realized that. It's like, all right, well, why wouldn't we just keep this guy for this price range? So I think both of those deals make a ton of sense.
It's like, oh, if we draft our new one of the future, what if the rookie's a head case. He can't handle anything. Like you never know. Like I'm sure Josh Allen loves now he has that comfort with Mitch Morris and going like, hey, he can handle his stuff. I know how we
all these guys, right? Such, I mean, that
it's
that
a pitcher and a catcher,
especially. Yes,
that's what it is. So it's like a pitcher and a catcher. They like have a comfort. They know how they call the game. It matters.
Jensen goes back to Tampa. Ben Jones goes back to the Titans. Brian Allen goes back to the Rams.
Yeah.
And Mitch Morse goes back to the Bills. I mean, you want to retain that guy. I mean, you look at all of the contracts. I talked about this with Marmol last week. Look at all of the big center contracts in free agency that have worked out. I mean, you might as well keep these guys at a certain point. And I think all of these teams realize that kind of in succession here, and all these guys are back. The interesting one with the Rams, Joe Noteboom, 3 years, $40 million with $25.5 million guaranteed. It's $13 million or so per year with the first 2 years guaranteed. That's a pretty big deal. But if you think that he is a quality tackle, and we've only seen him in start in little tiny fits and starts, so his market isn't huge, but you think he could be your left tackle of the future, there's a chance that this is, it ends up looking like a really good deal by the end of this season if you think he's that guy.
And he did, he actually did fine when he had a step up this year. Like, he did, he did well. I actually would even say well. Like, but that's the thing. He's 26. You're getting him right in his prime years. And like you just said, if he has a great year this year where you're like, oh man, he's a good starter, that's a steal.
I mean, it's like the Mailata contract. It's the exact same thought process where if you can get in a little bit early and you know other people don't know exactly what he's worth because he's only gotten action here or there and you get to watch him every single day. I mean, look at what just happened with Jake Matthews, right? Jake Matthews signs a 3-year extension at $18.25 million average, and that puts him right in the Colton Miller range, right? Yep. That's what you have to pay a functional left tackle. Yep. So if Joe Noteboom ends up being that, for the Rams at $5 million a year cheaper, then that ultimately can be a deal for you.
Especially for the Rams, who are trying, they have to get creative with how they do things. So it's like, that's where, if you steal guys like this, this is how you unlock other things for your team. So I'm all for this one, because especially how the flashes he had this year when Whitworth went down, I was like, oh, okay, there wasn't that much drop off, and he, his head, like his eyes looked at the right spot. So I think it's coming together, because he was more of a traitsy prospect before, like more of like a toolsy guy, and then has grown into an actual football player. So I like it. I it made sense to me, especially where the Rams are at as a franchise.
All right. So you mentioned Reddick. Any others that are kind of your favorite deals from today? You're like, oh, that makes sense to me.
I got three. It was the, I kind of already mentioned them all. The Fatukasi to the Jags, a little bit overpay, but it made sense. But that was before the linebacker deal came on onto the board. I was like, I don't like it as much. Reddick to the Eagles, and then Saffold to the Bills. I like that. A one-year starter, you're getting an attitude. Solid. I think he's more of a solid starter now than, you know, good, very good. But it made sense for me with the Bills. So I really think those three at the top, off the top of my head. It wasn't, not a lot of that was those middle class signings where we can sound smart and go like, oh, I really love this like backup.
That'll
receiver.
Be over the next few days, right?
Exactly.
I mean, for the most
that'll be
part,
later this week.
For the most part, the values that I like are the guys that re-sign their own players.
That's,
I mean,
the other one.
Ben Jones at $7 million, Brian Allen at $8 million. I mean, guys that are just going to be kind of that connective tissue of your roster that you just felt like you needed to bring back based on where you were as a team. I think all of those make sense. All of those are decent value. So we'll see what happens over the next few days. I'm sure some of those middle-class contracts will get handed out. Who's the okay, do something meme where you're poking them? That you're just like, all right, what the hell are you doing?
Originally, I had Carlton Davis and J.C. Jackson, but then Teron Armstead. I'm curious. I just want to see what the number is, just because I have a number in my head, and I want to see what the open market does for a starting freaking left tackle. You know, I just want to see it. I'm just curious. I'm just very curious. You know, as
where do you think he lands? Like, now that we're looking at it, I mean, Miami still should be in play,
right?
Miami should still be in play. Even with the deals they've handed out, it's been pretty moderate deals, so they should still be able to afford him if they want to.
Do the Colts feel risky for a season?
I don't think so.
I don't think
$20 million a year, the Colts. It's really, really funny that the Colts have $70 million in cap space, and the guy that they've signed today is Mo Alie-Cox.
Gotta love it. I was on NFL.com. I was looking at the transactions, and it was like Jaguars has like 30 things listed, and then you go to the Colts and it was just blank, and I was like, oh, of course, par for the course. I know,
it's amazing. All right, I think that's all we've got. I think that is, we've run through most of it. All right, I'm trying to see if there's anything I've missed as I scroll through the timeline here. I think we're good. All right, that was fantastic. Really enjoyed that, guys. We will be doing this at least for the next 3 days. We'll see how frisky I'm feeling on Friday. We may not do anything live, but I still may want to do a show. But we're going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to have live free agent reactions every single day in this same space. Tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, Lindsey Jones is going to be joining us, 4 p.m. on Tuesday. Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern, Sheil is going to be here. Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, you're back. So, guys, please continue to come and check these out. Love doing this. It is a very fun time of year. We will hit the signings we did not hit, just so everyone knows. It is 5:30 p.m. Eastern as we stop recording this. So if there's anything that comes down after this, that's why we didn't hit it. But we will be back around the same time on Tuesday. Really excited about that. If you guys could, please rate and review the podcast on your podcast platform of choice. If you liked it last season, if you enjoy the show, just go leave a review. We would really appreciate that. Please subscribe to The Athletic, theathletic.com/football show. You can read all of Shields' grades for every single one of these signings. He's doing it in real time because he's a psychopath. You can go check out all of the coverage. I'm telling you, it is so great to be able to get team-based contextualization from every single one of these signings. Where are these guys going to play? Where were they in these priorities? How do they fit the plan? That is something that you can get at The Athletic in a way that you cannot get anywhere else. So theathletic.com/football show. Highly encourage you guys to go get a subscription if you do not have one. We'll be back tomorrow with Lindsey Jones. For now, appreciate you guys listening. We'll talk to you soon.
This was The Athletic Football Show.